Chapter 23. The third version of Claver lasted longer than the first two. I suppose that was due to the fact Tribune Drusus had taken over the interrogation. Drusus invited me to the festivities. I was there because I'd heard Claver's story the first time and Drusus wanted a fact checker. Winslay, due to his excesses, wasn't allowed in the room at all.
"Let's go over this carefully," Drusus said. "You know of these creatures. You call them the Whirr. You've dealt with them, and you know their points of origin."
"Not exactly," Claver said. "I know they plagued the squids. That's how I first found out about them. They're like a cancer in the cephalopod kingdom. Forgotten worlds, wilderness planets, they start right in the midst of your territory like a deadly fungus, quietly growing in a city park. They expand insidiously, covering an entire world with their vegetation."
"So are you saying this forest we're in is all part of an alien biomass?"
"Yes, exactly. The small mobile creatures they spawn, they're only a defense mechanism like the white blood cells in our bodies. The gigantic plants themselves, the things you might erroneously call trees, those are our alien opponents."
It was hard to fathom. I was used to thinking of plants as mindless and fairly harmless. The idea I was sitting even now at the foot of an evil, thinking being, one that couldn't move but which could grow things that moved for it, the concept was alarming, to say the least.
"I'm still unclear as to the nature of your interaction with these aliens," Drusus said. "How did you come to make a deal with them? Why did they chase and attack you?"
"Hold on a minute, boss," Claver said, chuckling. "I didn't make any deals. I just happened to know a few things about them from the squids, that's all."
Drusus shook his head and glanced toward me. "I'm beginning to understand why Winslade lost his patience with this man." Claver's eyes narrowed.
"Is that a threat, sir? Are you planning to torture and kill me just like your Primus? Come to think of it, he might have been acting under your orders. Maybe this whole rescue routine is part of your grand plan, cooked up to trick me into giving you information I don't have. Well, sir, let me warn you, Central is going to hear all of this eventually. Central will hear me out."
Tribune Drusus seemed unmoved.
"Yes," he said, "I am threatening you. Cooperate, or you'll wish you had."
Claver kicked up his foot and stuck out his bare toes, spreading them wide.
"Start blowing them off, then," he said, "just like Winslay did. At your orders, fiends, the lot of you Varus people."
Drusus smiled. "That approach didn't work for Winslay, and for the record, he operated without my consent. But his results were still instructive. I've got a different fate in store for you if you should refuse to cooperate."
"Refuse to?"
Claver sputtered, then he cranked his neck around and looked at me.
"Are you listening to this? I'm counting on you as a witness when Equestrian Nagata takes down the full report. Abuse, distrust, accusations without grounding. McGill, you'll back me up in court, won't you?"
I stared at him for a moment, thinking. When I had my thoughts lined up, I answered. "I didn't like the way Winslade treated you. In fact, I tried to kill him for it." Claver brightened and gave me a fierce grin.
"You went for Winslade? I love it. Boy, I owe you one for that."
Drusus looked uncomfortable, but I pretended not to notice. I didn't like Winslade, and I'd reacted while in a less controlled state of mind. All that didn't mean I was in love with Claver, however. "Don't get any big ideas," I told the prisoner. "I'm not going to save you from every legionnaire that wants a pound of your flesh. You should know that my parents were in the crowd when your ship smashed down into Earth. They were permed out there at the spaceport." Claver licked his lips.
"I'm sorry," he mumbled, "but that wasn't my fault."
Drusus cleared his throat. "Do I have your attention, Claver?"
"Good."
Here's what will happen if I'm unhappy with your responses from here on out.
This ought to be good,
Claver interrupted, sneering. Hegemony made an agreement with you, Drusus said, which allows you to share in the trading rights for resources mined on Gamma Pavonis. It's stipulated in that agreement that criminal actions void the contract. I will move to declare your contract null and void, and I'll strip you of your transportation and trading rights, which under—
Whoa, Claver said, eyes bulging. That's just plain mean. What's more, it's counterproductive and illegal. I'll fight you every step of the way. You don't have the authority to—
No. You forget, sir. I'm in command of this expedition. This task force has been granted punitive powers. I could easily execute you permanently, but there might well be another Claver out there somewhere still operating. No, the best way to gain your cooperation is to attack your source of wealth. Are you listening now?
Yes, Tribune,
Claver said, glowering defiantly.
All right, then. Let's hear that story again. This time, make me believe it.
I had to hand it to Tribune Drusus. He knew this scoundrel well. Claver would rather die than give up incriminating information, but when faced with the loss of his most lucrative contract, he'd buckled.
First, I want assurances, Claver said. I want your word my contracts will continue at your recommendation if you find my story credible, no matter how happy or unhappy the truth makes you.
Drusus considered for a moment. Agreed, he said at last.
Okay, then. Good,
Claver said. His voice shifted suddenly, and I was under the impression he was speaking plainly and truthfully, perhaps for the first time.
Here's the deal, he began. I traded with these plant people. They're weird, but they understand payment and the delivery of goods. I found out about them from the Squiz, just as I said. I thought to myself at the time that I shouldn't be a bigot, just because they're plants. These fellows might turn out to be good customers. After all, they operate like rebels inside the cephalopod kingdom. So I contacted them and offered them titanium.
So far, I believed his story. Claver always had a nose for deals. He'd trade with anyone or anything.
You see, they need metals, he continued. Most of the planets they inhabit are like this one, low-metal worlds. Most species don't like low-metal worlds, as they don't make good colonial homesteads. But these plants, they don't need metals, except that is for one thing.
Starships, Drusus said.
Exactly. Starships. They need metal to build them, to escape a world they've overgrown and move on to the next. No one can reach escape velocity from a world with cellulose, acids, and organic gases alone. They need more powerful chemical reactions, things that can only be contained in the best of metals.
Trading with such beings, that's a treasonous offense all by itself, Drusus pointed out.
Hold on. Remember, they weren't inside the boundaries of Frontier 921. They were in the Squid Kingdom. They were beyond the frontier outside the Empire. So, I made some perfectly legal deals. I ran metals to their secret worlds, the ones the Squids had yet to stomp out. It's been giving the Squids fits, by the way. In a manner of speaking, I'm a misunderstood hero, sir. And that's the God's honest truth.
Drusus seemed amused. Could you explain your thinking on that point?
Well, I've been supplying our worst enemy's enemy with critical supplies. Why do you think they haven't flown to Earth and wiped us out yet? Fear of the Empire? Hardly. They have problems of their own. Their ships are busy. I've been helping to keep them busy.
Everything you're saying makes a strange kind of sense, Drusus admitted. But I fail to see why these beings chased you to Earth and tried to destroy you if you were their benefactor.
Yeah, that part. Well, like I said, I was doing business with them inside Squid territory, but then they wanted to make me a secret delivery inside the borders of Frontier 921. At first, I thought they wanted to meet me out here where Squid patrol boats wouldn't pick us up. Imagine my shock when I saw they'd colonized a world right here in the midst of Imperial space.
Drusus nodded. So you refused to do the deal?
Essentially, Claver said, eyeing both of us. He shrugged. I turned my ship around, went into warp, and pulled out. They chased me to Earth, you know the rest.
The whole scenario was clear in my mind now. Claver had been scared to find a colonized world near Earth. He'd run out on his trading partners. Enraged, probably because they'd already made payment, the Wurr had chased him to Earth and destroyed his freighter. Drusus's hand fell on Claver's shoulder. Claver flinched in response, but Drusus didn't strike him.
Claver, he said, I'm going to accept this version of events. I'm sure you've edited the story heavily in your favor, but a deal gone bad, I can buy that story. I can also buy that you deal with an alien menace so dangerous it's seriously damaging an interstellar neighbor of ours.
Why, thank you kindly, sir, Claver began.
But, Drusus continued, I want you to understand that your actions still border on treason. None of these dealings have been sanctioned by Earth or the Galactics. You are operating outside the law. You're aiding and abetting a threat to this entire region of space. These beings will never be content with a few forgotten worlds among the stars, will they? They have clear ambitions to take this region of space for themselves.
Claver shifted uncomfortably, and Drusus removed his hand from the man's shoulder.
That said, Drusus went on, a deal is a deal. You're free to go.
A deal is a deal.
Claver agreed happily.
I'd prefer to be dropped off on Machine World, where I have associates waiting if it's not too much trouble.
You misunderstand me, Drusus said, his eyes dark and unblinking. You're free to exit this lifter, to walk among your megaflora friends.
What? You're kicking me off this ship? They may not be very understanding, Tribune, sir.
Drusus nodded. That's possible, but that's not my fault now, is it? In the future, should we meet again, I would suggest you keep local Earth officials apprised of discoveries of this magnitude. Are we clear?
Claver sputtered and complained, but in the end he was kicked off the lifter and out into the forest. We gave him supplies, a vac suit, and a snap rifle. In my opinion, that was more than he deserved. I watched as Claver wandered off into the forest, casting dark glances over his shoulder toward the curious troops who watched him leave.
Banishment, Drusus said to me. An ancient, traditional punishment. If anyone might survive such a fate, it's a man like Claver.
I think it was a good call, sir, I said.
Drusus looked at me appraisingly.
I'm glad you feel that way. I've studied your case as well, McGill. While I know that Legion Varus has a tradition of accepting off-script behavior from their troops, we can't allow anarchy to prevail. Your actions regarding Winslade and disobeying orders, they're too great to be ignored.
My heart sank. I felt certain I was about to learn my fate today as well.
I understand, sir, I said, standing tall. Whatever he was going to say, I'd accept it. I had a level of respect for Drusus that was greater than any officer in the Legion, with the possible exception of Centurion Graves.
Good, he said. Here's your mission, or punishment, if you prefer to think of it that way. You'll gather your squad. Together, you'll follow Claver discreetly. Use buzzers to track him in the forest. Find out where he's going and what he's up to. There are so many things we don't understand about this planet and Claver's interactions, such as how he talks to giant trees in the first place.
Your job from now on is to learn those details.
My mouth hung open. But what about the were, sir?
You'll deal with them. You have my utter confidence. Report in daily and try to stay out of sight.
Right, sir. When do we return?
Drusus gave me a thoughtful glance. I'll review your reports. Possibly I'll make the decision that your reconnaissance team is worthy of a rescue effort. In the meantime, I'm taking this lifter out of this region. It stands to reason the Wurr pod walkers will attack this camp again, and I don't want to be here when they do. I nodded, numbly. Then I had a thought.
But, sir, why punish my whole squad? They didn't do anything wrong.
That's another lesson. As a commander of troops, you must always be thinking of the people who are following you. They will pay for every mistake you make. It's called responsibility. You might want to look that one up on your tapper.
I'll do that, Tribune.
Good luck, McGill, he said. Then Tribune Drusus turned around and mounted the ramp into the dark hold of the lifter. I watched him go, feeling like a man who'd been exiled, because that's exactly what had happened.